And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to another edition of the Home Improvement Show. Andy Lindus is taking the day off, as we like to say in the business. He's on assignment. Luke Panic is back with us, our friend Luke, the deck and port specialist, among other things, a man who wears many hats at Lindus Construction, is back answering any kind of a home improvement question you might have, especially if it's about decks or porches. Luke, good to hear from you. Welcome. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Danny. How's it going so far?
So far, so good, but you know it's early. Anything can happen.
It is early.
That's what keeps it exciting. For those folks that don't know, Luke has been in the construction business. You're not just a deck guy. I mean, you've built your own homes. You've done all sorts of construction since you were a young lad, right?
That's right. Been into my whole life for the most part.
Yeah. So we don't want to limit it to decks and porches, but people love, I said it earlier today, people love their decks around here, I guess for good reason. When you and I first met many years ago, we talked about, you threw out a percentage, and I've said it before, that people who want new decks from Lindus Construction, they don't want wood decks. And you told me at the time it was like, you gave this huge figure, like 80%. People want low maintenance decks, and I'm sure that percent. Well, I know it has. It's grown to maybe 100%. Do people want any kind of wood material decks anymore?
Well, it's certainly unusual, and when they meet with us, we'll probably talk them out of it. But it is unusual, just because the synthetic boards have come such a long way to really giving a nice representation of wood over the years. That's changed, and so now we can offer people some products that are really attractive, really durable, and just don't have the hassle of wood. And the cost of some of them, is near the price of good wood. So it just doesn't lend itself to many people anymore, just because it seems as life goes on, the less things we have to work on our homes, the better.
And what about what changes have you seen over the years with just building a deck as far as the substructure? What kind of anchors do you use, footings and other materials? What has changed there?
What's changed mostly is the pretty much elimination of concrete piers for our company, at least. For years, how we did footings was to drill a hole in the ground 4 feet and put a sonotube or a cardboard tube in the ground and then fill it with concrete. That's gone by the wayside for the most part. It's very unusual to do a footing that way anymore because our wonderful, they call us mud ducks because we live in the swamp, and there's a lot of soil out there that's not real friendly when it freezes to concrete. So what we do now is mostly the helical piers that screw into earth because they handle that soil we have so much better. So the technology, the speed of it, the way we don't have to excavate out a bunch of soil in people's backyards and then deal with soil, it's just a far better way, and they never fail. We've yet to have a helical pier give us any trouble in the future. And so that's why we use them exclusively on all our decks.
And that's good, those helical piers, for any kind of soil, clay, sand?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. The only thing that'll wreck your day is if you hit a boulder or something, you happen to hit a rock, which is very unusual. But obviously, if you hit a boulder or a rock with any type of footing, it's a problem. So it's not exclusive to helical piers. One of the limitations is that, I did a deck last year that was on Lake Minnetonka that was up on a bluff, and it was very difficult to get our machine on a steep hillside to drill them in. So there are limitations as far as access in some places. That's unusual, but it does, you actually have to get a sizable machine. It's kind of a small bobcat. It's called a Dingo, made by Toro, and it just he can get through a 3-foot gate that has tracks and it's pretty mobile, but there are locations that we just can't get that machine to where we have to use some other type of footing. But that's about the only circumstance, yeah. You know, they're amazing, amazing technology. Those helical piers are used for retaining walls. When you see big, when they build freeways and they build those big concrete walls to hold those walls in place, they'll drill these screws in laterally to this. Like a wood screw into the wall. They drill them into the earth 50, 60, 70 feet to hold retaining walls. And I've seen them where they'll excavate around an old church that's settled into the ground and has become out of level. They'll excavate out around the building, drill these helical piers next to the building, put a plate on the footing, and then actually raise the building up by the ground and make it level. So it's been around for a while. It just hasn't been available for smaller projects, and so the with smaller machinery that gets in people's backyards. And now that that's available to us, it's really been a blessing for homeowners to use this type of footing. So,
yeah. If you've just joined us, Luke Panik, who is the deck and porch specialist with Linda's Construction, answering any kind of a home improvement question, all you have to do is call Luke or send a text, if that's easier, 651-461-9226. Tell you what, Luke, let's take a quick break. We'll pick up on questions from listeners when we come back here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back on this Saturday morning to our Home Improvement Show, presented every week by Linda's Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S. You can give them a call if you want a new deck, maybe a new roof. New windows would be great. 844-9-LINDIS. Easy number to remember. You can call them this coming week. In the meantime, if you're just joining us, Luke Panik filling in for Andy Lindis this morning. Luke, among other things, is the porch deck specialist with Lindis. But you've done a whole lot of stuff on your own, too. And, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you what personal projects have you been up to for folks that missed maybe the last show or two that you did? What are you up to?
Well, I've taken a passion in my weekends to work on cabins. I like to invent cabins that rent for vacations. And I'm building a new building on Lake Vermilion up in Tower, Minnesota. So that's my latest project. I'm up here working on siding this weekend with my son, Simon. We're putting on LP Smart Side and acquiring an education. Just when you think you know it all, you learn that you don't. And that's part of getting your hands dirty and doing projects. But it's really a great product. I'm really impressed with it. I'm sure Andy's talked about LP Smart Side. We sell a lot of it at Lindus because we think it's the best siding. And so that's what I'm working on now.
It's cold. LP. It's cold. Yes. Well, that LP is it's going to warm up a little bit. It's going to get cold, then it'll warm up, and then it'll get cold. It's called Minnesota in January.
Yeah.
So I tell you what, Luke, hang on. Bob is on the horn. He's calling. He's on the road, I guess. He wants to ask you something. Bob, thank you. What is your question for Luke?
Yeah, you mentioned most decks now you're trying to convince people to use the artificial wood. I wanted your thoughts on the treated lumber, specifically something called KDAT, KDAT. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does sound right. And what that stands for. Yeah. Go ahead. What's your question?
Oh, that I'd just like to hear you talk about the advantages of KDAT over the other stuff, and I'll just hang up and listen.
Well, thank you, Bob, for your question. It's a great question, and it's a really important question. And that's one of the advances that has been made in lumber for two areas. When someone wants a wood deck, I will recommend that we use KDAT lumber. And what KDAT stands for is KDAT. It means kiln dried after treatment. And so when we use lumber outside, it should be treated. And it's treated with preservatives that prevent it from rotting or decaying over time. And that's been around for a long time. The problem with traditionally pressure-treated wood is that it's a liquid that gets absorbed into the wood And oftentimes, and for years, it would come to your building site very, very wet and heavy. Up to 70% of its weight can be moisture. Mm. And what happens when you build with that, or use it as decking or even as framing, what will happen is as that moisture leaves, it shrinks and cracks and warps dramatically because it does it quickly in the outside environment, the hot sun. And, you know, these cold days will be gone soon, and we'll be complaining about how hot and humid it is in July and August. And what that does is it causes our lumber to shrink and twist. So what manufacturers have done to help us is kiln dry that treated wood after it's been treated. So they'll remove the moisture in a kiln, in a drying process, in a controlled environment, down from 70% down to maybe 15% or 12%. So when it comes, not only is it easier on the back when you're carrying it around a house, but it's easier to work with. And it's much more stable, so you don't get that dramatic shrinkage of the lumber after it's installed. So we use that on most of our decks. We use kiln-dried treated framing lumber so that when we build with it, the synthetic materials that are attached to it don't warp. Because if they're attached to a frame that shrinks a bunch, then those materials that are much more stable, the synthetic materials, they won't warp. If they're attached to something that shrinks, then they warp, of course, because they're attached to it. So that's why Bob is asking a great question, is that there's really no reason to use the pressure-treated pine that hasn't been kiln-dried. Unless the only advantage is that it costs less. It's a cheaper product. But the result of that, saving that money, is going to create all kinds of headaches down the road. So it's important if you're looking at building a deck or you're hiring a company, you want to make sure that they use the kiln-dried wood so you get the best performance out of that wood moving forward. And that's a really important detail to know about framing a deck these days.
Yeah, good question. Thanks for calling. Thanks, Bob, for doing that. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, it can apply to decks, porches, anything. 651-461-9226. Luke Panic in for Andy. A listener wants to know, have you used Ipe, that Brazilian wood, that exotic wood, for decks, and do you think it's available locally? Tell us about that type of wood.
That is I should have mentioned that earlier. That is a great wood product to use. It has different brand names out there, but it's a hardwood that is, they say it's 7 times harder than oak. So oak is obviously very hard if anybody's had to drill a hole in it or drive a nail through it. And this Ipe, or tiger wood, or ironwood, it's been called, is a South American walnut that's very, very, it's beautiful. It looks kind of like teak. It's heavy, and it's very strong. And you can build decks with it, and we do build decks with it on occasion. It lasts a long, long time. I mean, it's a 50-year product. It still has, you know, some characteristics of wood where as it goes through our difficult climate, it will expand and contract a little bit, and it can crack here and there. So it's not by any means perfect, but it is a really durable wood that lasts a long time. It's similar in cost to your top of the line synthetic deck boards. It will turn gray. The sun will, you know, it comes out looking like teak or a walnut wood, as you'd expect, a dark, rich wood, and then it will turn gray over time. You don't have to put a preservative on it if you don't want to. You can just let it gray, and if you're happy with that look, that's fine. If you want to put a preservative on it, Penniffin is the only company I know of that makes a hardwood stain that will keep it looking like rich walnut color. And again, other than the difficulties of working with it, because it's so hard, you have to drill. You know, every hole has to have a pilot hole. You have to use stainless steel fasteners with a smaller head on the screw. Other than that, you work with it just like you would any other wood, and plan on buying a few extra saw blades because they dull quick, but you can put it in a traditional frame. and it's really a unique and beautiful wood.
And what's it called, among other things?
Distributors will call it Ipe.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, Ipe.
Yeah, Ipe. I've heard it called Tiger Wood because there's a strain of it that has kind of an orange coloring in it that gives it kind of a tiger. And then I've heard it called the Ironwood as well. That's all the same type of tree, just some sort of a South American walnut.
You have any kind of a home improvement question? Could be decks, could be porches, can be anything involving home improvement. 651-461-9226. Tell you what, before we break for weather, Lee is on the horn calling in from Inver Grove. Lee, thanks for calling. What is your question for Nick? For Nick.
Hey,
for Luke.
Hey, Luke. Hey, nice to hear you. Hey, my question is, and by the way, nice job on the KDAPs and on the EPA. That's great information. My question is back to footings. And my question is, what do you think about, like, the Diamond Pier footings? I know I work for a local family-owned lumberyard in the Twin Cities here, and we sell a ton of the Diamond Pier footings. And just looking for your information or what you think about those kinds of footings as well.
That's a good question, Lee. And we, for those who don't know what a diamond pier is, what a diamond pier is a technology that was developed down in, from what I recall, down in Florida. And this type of footing was used in swampy, loamy soils to give a way to put in a concrete footing that didn't involve drilling a hole in the ground that was wet. Oftentimes, and around the Twin Cities, that was the case too. We'd drill a hole in Plymouth or Maple Grove or Hugo. We'd drill a hole in some place where the water table was elevated, and the hole would fill up with water a third of the way or something, and then it was quite a challenge to pour concrete in that hole. So diamond piers was a great solution. And what it is basically a diamond-shaped piece of concrete. It's about the size of a basketball, and they make them in two different sizes. They make a DP50 and a DP75, and they're designed to have different load capacities. But what they are is a concrete-shaped diamond that has pre-mortised holes in it for pipes, galvanized steel pipes, and you get the tip of that diamond buried in the soil just a few inches, and then these pipes go down through that concrete diamond at an angle. So if you once you've driven them into the ground, there's four pipes that go in, and you jackhammer them with a jackhammer down into the ground about 4 feet. So it looks kind of like a, if you would imagine a camera on a tripod, it's kind of what it looks like, the camera being the concrete diamond and the tripod being the steel pipes, and that's down in the ground, just the diamond or the camera sitting on the surface. And what it does is as the frost moves down in the ground, it forces those pipes to expand and they pinch and they create, it wedges itself to stabilize it. So it's a unique footing. We used them in Lindus for several years in between concrete footings and our helical piers. We used a lot of diamond piers, and for the most part, they worked great. We did have, on occasion, we would have them fail, and so that is the reason that we switched completely to the helical piers, because we think they're the absolute best. But for many homeowners, a diamond pier, and I've used them up here. In northern Minnesota here where I couldn't get the machine, and I added on to a deck on a cabin I was doing up here, I put in diamond piers. I put in diamond piers on a porch. I added on a bathroom to a master, make it a master suite. I added on a small bathroom outside the building. I put those concrete diamond piers in the winter. I shoveled 2 feet of snow. I chiseled out the soil down about a foot. And I put some sand in it, and I put the concrete diamond in there and jackhammer them down right through the frost. So there are applications where it's your friend. And like I said, most of the time they work great. But the reason that we got away from them is that there were occasions where we had issues with them and we had to replace them or do something with them. So they're not quite as secure and as reliable as the helical pier, but they can be a very good footing as compared to the traditional concrete footing. So I encourage people to use those over a regular concrete pier. The decision to use a diamond pier that's a 75 or a 50 is if it's carrying a roof load for a porch, the diamond, the bigger ones can carry that load better than deck footing. But for most decks that people are going to use, the regular size 50, the DP 50 is perfectly adequate and can be a great solution.
Very good. Hang on, Luke. He was just joining us, Luke Panic, the deck and porch specialist from Lindus, answering any kind of a home improvement question you might have this morning, either by phone or by text. 651-461-9226 is worth a phone call or a text question for Luke. We'll have a look at that forecast next. Stay with us. Newstalk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our home improvement show presented by Lindus Construction. Andy Lindus taking the day off today. Our friend Luke Panic, the deck and porch specialist with Lindus, is answering any kind of a home improvement question you might have. Yeah, if you have a question about decks or decking, here's the guy you want to chat with this morning. Call him, text him, 651-461-9226. Listener says this, Luke, my deck is underneath my three-season porch and tied into the posts supporting the porch. The deck needs replacing, and my porch is also sagging, so I'm wondering how replacing the posts and decks gets replaced without damaging the porch and porch windows.
Aha! Very good question. And this leads me into a story about how we ended up getting into helical piers. It's common for us to have homeowners call in and say, my porch windows aren't working anymore. They're crooked. They won't close. The patio door doesn't slide open anymore. And ultimately, we go out there to take a look, and the porch is out of level because the footings, the traditional concrete footings, have failed. They've raised up out of the ground, or they've sunk into the ground, one or the other. So back, 10 years ago, if I'd go out to a house to address that problem, I would advise that they get helical footings put in. And back then, we didn't offer that. We didn't have the equipment. It was a very specific footing foundation company that would have to do that. So what Lindus would do, we'd lift the building up, we'd jack the building up and get it back to level. We'd hire a company to come in and put those helical piers in, and then we'd set it back down because we knew those footings were the best. After doing that time and time again, we realized we need to use these footings everywhere because they really are the solution when regular footings don't work. So that's why we got involved with the helical, buying the equipment to do the helical piers. Now, a porch like that where the deck needs to be replaced, that's exactly what we would do. We'd come out to that house, open up the bottom of that porch. We would put sometimes we put in a temporary beam underneath it to support the weight. And we lift that porch back up a couple inches or whatever it takes to get it perfectly level. And then we will either sometimes remove the old footings if we have to. If the footings have to go back into the same spots, you got to get that concrete out of there. If we can put the footings in a new location, we can leave those old footings down. It just depends on how the existing building is. But basically what we do is we put in those brand new helical piers. We put in brand new posts. And then the porch is leveled and set, and then we can go ahead and you can attach the deck to those footings as well. So when you're adding all of that additional weight, basically the difference in the helical pier to handle that extra weight of both the deck and the porch, we would put them deeper into the ground to support more weight. The further they go into the ground, the more weight they'll handle. But it's a common thing that we address at Lindus all the time.
It's a good question, good topic. And what about porches? Are people asking Lindus, hey, I want this three-season or four-season? Or what are people asking Lindus to do?
All of the above. Anywhere from three-season to four-season. Sometimes we're taking an existing three-season, making it a four-season. I was on a couple of those last week. Very common request. A lot of people working from home nowadays that weren't after our debacle a few years ago with COVID. A lot of people reassigned to work from home. Now, my wife's an example of that. Her office moved from St. Paul to our porch. And so the very common request so that they don't have a laptop in their bedroom. They need a dedicated space to work from home. And so a lot of times that's adding a porch or converting an existing porch. So very popular improvement to make somebody's house.
You know, we talk about the three season, and people often, I think you've told me that, say, I wish I would have made this a four season. Is that pretty common too?
Yes, and a lot of times we'll prepare that three season if it's a cost preventative thing, the added insulation and the heating and cooling, you know, requirements. We'll prep that room so that it's ready to be insulated in the future. Or sometimes we'll even, you know, if they think that might be the case, get the insulation in before we put the finished ceiling up so that doesn't have to be accessed down the road. So it just depends. But a lot of times, you know, Denny, they want a room in the house that feels like a different room. I get oftentimes people say, you know what, we sold our cabin. We want a room in the house that makes us feel, gives us, reminisce a little bit about that. We want to make, put in some knotty pine, and we want to feel like we're in a different space. We've got enough rooms with sheetrock. We want a room to go into that feels different, and I can hear the birds, and I can, you know, feel like I'm outside. We just want protection from the bugs and the rain and the wind, and so three seasons are very popular still, too.
Looking at another listener text, Luke, it says, where can I get that KDAT lumber? For those that maybe joined us a little bit late, that KDAT, correct me if I'm wrong, that's kiln-dried after-treatment lumber. Did I get that right?
You did get it right. And almost any lumber yard, even if they don't stock it, will be able to order it for you. So, and that means every lumber yard. If you go to the lumber desk, tell them, hey, I'm looking for some kiln-dried treated wood is where I want. They can order it for you. There are lumber yards that stock it. We get ours from Arrow Building Center in Hudson. They stock it for us because we buy it so much. There are lumber yards that have it on hand. You can just go buy what you need. You don't have to special order it. But even Menards can, I'm sure, can order that product for you, or a Home Depot or a Lowe's. So it's readily available. It's it never used to be so readily available, but now it is, because as more and more people are requesting it, it's in higher demand.
Here we are, Luke, January 11th, and people hearing us talk about decks and decking, can, if someone wants Lindis to build them a deck, replace an old one, whatever the case may be, can they still do that? Can they call now or have Lindis come over and see a deck in their yard before fall comes?
Yes, we've expanded our team as the deck division has grown. We've expanded our team, so we have several sales guys that can come out and design a deck or replace a deck. And this is a great time of the year to talk about that. The salesman sometimes grumpy that they go around and trudge around the snow because it's cold, but we'll get over it quick. And we can still design up the deck. We can look at your existing deck and get you on the schedule for spring. We've got a little bit of a backlog for spring deck builds, but we're absolutely able to get your deck in next summer for sure.
That's great news. 844-9-LINDIS, if you want to give him a shout this coming week. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break here. Luke Panikin for Andy Lindis this morning. Right now in the Twin Cities, we have 18 degrees. We're heading to near 27. Snow coming in 1 to 2 inches overnight, at least for the Twin Cities. A few more flakes tomorrow, maybe another half inch possible. Colder weather for a couple of days, and then a little bit of a warm-up. Right now, it's overcast, 18. News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Welcome back to our Home Improvement Show. Denny Long here, along with Luke Panik from Lindis Construction, among other things. He is the deck and porch specialist. We're talking those very things this morning, among other home improvement questions. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226. Luke, here's one, that question that you get maybe multiple times a day in your illustrious career. What is the best composite decking to use?
My favorite one, and that's up for debate, of course, because different people like different things. My favorite one is called Millboard that we offer. Millboard is a unique product that isn't readily seen at the typical store. But Millboard is very unique in its appearance. It's embossed with real wood, so it's got the real texture of authentic oak, and it's made differently than a traditional composite or cellular PVC, in that it's made mostly of limestone and a specific resin, and then it has a rubber surface. But it has a nice, varied, natural look to it. oftentimes when people see it, they say, what the heck is that? So board's my favorite. And then my second go-to would be AZEK, which is owned by TimberTech now, which is a cellular PVC product. So those are my favorite two. Those are the ones that I show people. There are other composites. The composites being the one that contain sawdust that aren't quite as good, but still are far better than natural wood that we'll go to if need be to get the cost down. But those are the order that I recommend deck boards.
Luke, you and I over the years have talked a lot about restaining decks or just the maintenance on decks. What's the cleaning and the other maintenance ideas for these various synthetic decks? I mean, how do you clean them? How do you keep them nice?
Well, if you do it regularly, and when I say regularly, I say, you know, spring and fall, just rinsing them off with water is typically adequate. Can you use a pressure washer? Sure you can. Is it necessary? No. Just getting them broomed off and wet and washed off with a broom is also good. If it's to the point where it's dirty or it's a lot of pollen that's built up and there's stuff built up between the boards, it's important to get it out of there. And that's what happens if you don't do it annually. Your cleaning job can be a little bit more strenuous, and then you can add a cleaner. They sell all kinds of deck cleaners in any hardware store or box store to spray it on there, just help you agitate a little bit with a broom, a push broom, and rinse it off. It usually involves getting it wet first and then putting on the cleaning agent and then letting it sit for a little bit and then scrubbing it off. But and that's the same for wood decks too. It's just the outside grime that wants to build on top decks that is your enemy, and on the railings. Washing the railings is important. But just a normal cleaning job, regardless of the material, it doesn't matter if you build it out of granite, you need to clean it once in a while if you want it to stay looking nice.
Here's another question we get from time to time this time of year, and again, it's not specifying what type of material the deck is made out of, but they want to know, should we shovel our decks because of the weight problem?
You don't know. It's not a requirement. If the deck is built to reasonable building codes or normal joist size, the decks that we build are designed to handle what we call snow load. So no, it's not a requirement for the structure of the deck. I think it's a good idea to keep the snow shoveled off if it's not a too strenuous of an activity. The last 2 years haven't been too bad. We haven't had a ton of snow to worry about, obviously. But I like to keep the deck shoveled off as much as possible. But it is not something that has to be done to save the structure of the deck by any stretch.
Well, that's good to know. Another question pertaining to this particular instance, the listener says they have a TimberTech deck. And the question is, can I safely, meaning not damage, and use my electric Snowjoe snowblower on my TimberTech deck? What about that?
Well, I'd be cautious with Snowjoe. I think probably the snowblowers that have those rubber fins are probably just fine. You know, obviously the ones with the metal coil or the auger that's on there might be a little bit aggressive, so I wouldn't do that. But I don't know what a Snowjoe is, but I think the lighter weight ones that are more like a broom will probably be just fine. But beware. I would start in an off beat cornered and see what it's doing, because when the synthetic deck boards are frozen, of course they're more brittle. It's just like anything. When it's cold, they're a little more delicate, so be careful.
This listener, we have time, yes we do, says, I have a 15-year-old wood deck. A few of the boards are cracked or spongy. I'd like your thoughts, Luke, they say, on repairs. How do they repair those, or should they?
Yeah, anything that's split and cracked, it's usually near the end of the board, and that's usually where it's resting on the joist. So I like to replace those. Number one, it needs to be replaced with a board that is the same thickness. So double check that. All thicknesses are not the same. And I would also recommend getting the kiln dried board because it's already got the moisture removed. If you put in a wet did one, or even a brand new cedar one, it can be swelled up a little bit, so you'll get an edge between those boards where they butt joint together. But I would replace them. You're going to see the brand new board next to the old boards, and they're going to stand out originally. So after you put in those new boards, the best thing to do is to give the whole thing a light sand so that you get that decayed surface next to the brand new surface to marry well a little bit better, and hide that new board, and then give it a fresh coat of stain to make it blend in a little bit more. That's what I've done on decks like that. But yeah, I like to get those deck boards replaced sooner than later, as soon as they've cracked, because that is where you're susceptible of when you're stepping. Oftentimes deck boards are butt jointed on a single joist, and so they're only catching maybe 3/4 of an inch, because the deck joist is only 1.5 inches wide, so they're not bending on a lot. And if that end of that board is weakened, it's a risk for your, you know, a leg to go through and cause dangerous injuries. So anytime you get a cracked deck board or it's getting soft at the end, that's a great time to replace it.
Listener has millboard decking and heard you talking about no need for a pressure washer, but can that be used, and can millboard be damaged by the misuse of a pressure washer? I suppose it could.
I suppose it could. I mean, you can damage concrete with a pressure washer, so you do need to use caution. Make sure that you don't put the 0-degree tip in that thing. But again, the pressure washing is a skill, and you just need to err on the side of gentle. As you get closer and closer, you're putting more pressure and you're concentrating the water. So I think just using caution and doing just enough to get it clean, you should be absolutely fine to pressure wash your millboard deck and not damage it. But just use caution.
Final question before we head out of here, Luke. Which composite deck boards is not slippery? Listener wants to know.
Not slippery. The ones that don't have ice on them are not slippery. The ones that have ice off, you know, this time of year, you know, I've slipped on many decks. And, of course, we've had wet conditions in the middle of winter. I'm going to take ice out of the equation. Taking ice out of the equation, all the deck boards meet what's called an ADA grip requirement. When they make a walking surface, they have to put enough texture in it to meet that requirement. So none of them, in my opinion, are slippery. In fact, they're all more grippy on their feet and far better than natural wood. If natural wood is on your deck and you got a little water on that, maybe a little pile on that, you've got grease like. That's what I remind people of, is that, you know, any of the synthetic deck boards are going to be far superior as far as a foothold than natural wood. So if you consider wood to be slippery, any synthetic is going to be far better. Now, millboard is probably the most aggressive on your foot, and it grips your foot the best. That's why I use it on docks. It's great on docks for lakes, because bare feet, in the wet commonly, it's great. All of them have a nice feel on the foot. So.
Well, we'll leave it on that note. Luke, always a pleasure. Thanks for all the help this morning. We have to run, and let's tell folks that they want to get new deck, call Lindus, 844-9-LINDUS, this coming week. Luke, thanks so much. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, Danny. Good to hear from you.
Luke Panic from Lindus. We'll see you tomorrow for Susie.